keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
So hello and welcome to the Final Hooter here on Radio General, but it's also your loverugbyleague.com podcast. I'm Dave Parkinson. I'm delighted to be joined by David Birch, and we're going to be chewing the fat about the world of rugby league.
We certainly are. We're going to work our way from the bottom to the top, is it, this week?
It is, yeah. I've decided to go against convention. I know usually we start off with the top division and we talk about that. But I'm going to concentrate on one club in particular at the start of this. I was really proud and privileged to be asked to cover a game the other week between North Wales Crusaders and Coventry Bears. Now, okay, this may not set the hearts fluttering to a lot of people, but to a rugby league aficionado like myself, it was my idea of heaven. So off I trotted. Chester Rugby Union, the venue. Great venue, by the way. Lovely when the sun was shining as well, which it was on this particular day. And I bore witness to a bit of history, Dave.
Right, okay. What did you see?
Well, it was...
Not sunshine in Chester, was it?
Well, I mean, I don't know whether it happens too often. You know, it was a gorgeous afternoon. But no, I witnessed the first ever victory for Coventry Bears against a northern team.
Fantastic. It was a good game, wasn't it?
It was a great game, actually. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. North Wales Crusaders 28, Coventry Bears 30. The star of the show was a winger for Coventry Bears called Jamal Hunt. And he picked the ball up at one point, 90 metres away from the try line, ran across the face of the defence, saw a little gap, surged through it, brushed away from a couple of defenders, zoom, afterburner on, 90 metre try.
Fantastic. Similar to the fire at Wembley one.
Better. It's always better.
They may put a statue of him outside the ground.
You never know. You never know, do you? So I was really pleased afterwards to catch up with the Coventry Bears coach, Tom Sang, and this is what he had to say to me. Okay, I'm joined by Tom Sang, victorious coach this afternoon for the Coventry Bears. And where was that one won?
It was just with the grit and the determination of the boys. We went behind 18-6 early in the first half, and we knew we'd been in that position before through the season. We've come back and we haven't quite got through at the other end after 80 minutes, but we knew that we're there or thereabouts, and so we got a lot of belief, and the group's really tight. So it was just, it's not really anything that we did particularly away from structure. It was just that determination that we knew we had it in the bag, and that win's been coming, to be honest.
You came close to a result here back in July, didn't you?
Yep.
So to come here and then turn the tables on, you must be pleased.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we after every game we dissect what we've done right, what we've done wrong, and the boys were a really young side, were average age 21-22, and a lot of like Midlands local boys, and we're just learning, they're all learning the game together. So they've picked up the stuff that they didn't do right well against Crusaders last time and in other games, and each week they're just fixing up little bits. And like I say, this win's been coming because they're just such a good bunch of lads and really willing to put in the effort for each other.
How is the development of the side going in Coventry?
Yeah, really well. Like I say, we've got a young side, and hopefully we can keep the bulk of these boys together for next year. If we can do that, then the future's really bright for us. We've invested in youth, we've not tried to do things too quickly, which I think is going to be key for us. If success comes soon, great, but we're not really measuring ourselves on that. We're just measuring ourselves on how many young lads we've got from Coventry, how many young lads we've got in general, keeping that group together, and just those small improvements through the year and into future years.
And with the likes of Eddie Medforth and Jamal Hunt,
yep.
You know, excitement machines for
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, like I said, with youth comes with that like exuberance and that sort of willingness to play. Sometimes we need to pull them back a little bit, and that's what the learning is, when to do it and when not to do it. But you put the ball in some of these guys' hands, and they just do their own, do what they need to do, and it just comes natural to them.
I know it's always a difficult question to ask a coach after a game like that, but was there any main standouts for you?
I think it was probably the guys in the middle that just set the platform for us, and as it always is in any game of rugby league, I think you've got to have your boys in the middle doing their job. And so Jack Morrison, James Gurchins, Alex Beddoes, they really sort of dug in through the middle and gave our guys on the outside a little bit of space and opportunity. So it's those blokes in the middle that deserve the credit, really.
And does this win give you a platform to build on for the remainder of this season?
Yeah.
Are you looking more towards next year?
No, we're focused on this year. We want to finish as as high up that that table as we can and get as many wins as we can, because that's another way we can measure ourselves compared to last year. We've already passed how many wins we had last year, so that'll be a way that we can measure ourselves. In terms of next year, the main thing is just that we can keep this group together. But yeah, this year, like next week is the main focus really as we go forward.
And who have you got next week?
We've got Gloucester at home, which we beat them narrowly away. But we know that we've got a couple of guys away on some pre-planned holidays that have been booked in for like 18 months. So we'll have to see what the boys' bodies are like after this, and then who else is away, and we'll just have to see where we go from there.
And you've got a couple of old Gloucestershire boys in your ranks anyway, haven't you?
So there's a bit of history between the clubs, and I think we're both, as clubs just generally in development, we're striving for the same thing, and it's good that we can push each other and have a little bit of a rivalry there. So yeah, it's going to be a good game.
It's the first time that I've spoken to you in your role as Coventry coach. Are you enjoying the challenge?
Yeah, I'm loving it. Yeah, there's obviously those times when especially last year when we were on the back wrong end of a few big score lines, it's tough to take, because we want to win every single game, although we've got to be realistic and know that sometimes that's not necessarily going to happen. But these small little successes, although it was a big one today, are what make it worthwhile. So we'll make sure we enjoy this one.
And they did enjoy that one. And interestingly enough, he was talking about the following game that came against the Gloucestershire All Golds, and they backed it up with victory again, 33 points to 20. So, you know, they're doing well, those boys at Coventry. What it does as well, it keeps them in a good position where they're just challenging North Wales Crusaders for a place in the Kingstone Press League One Shield. That's been wrapped up, by the way, a final berth by Newcastle Thunder, who've announced that tickets are now available. This final is being held on the 18th of September, Sunday the 18th of September, with a 5:15 kickoff as it follows the rugby union game that's taking place earlier in the day. So it's always nice to hear of other coaches and other people that maybe we don't get to hear of too often.
Certainly is. I mean, I don't know much about the Coventry Bears, to be fair, but he spoke really, really well. And, you know, he could have been listening to a Super League coach then, the way he was talking.
And interestingly enough, that he's talking about long-term development, and that's something that I'm always keen to hear, because quite a lot of the time with rugby league development, it just seems to have been in the past, let's pick a roadmap, let's stick a pin in it, let's have a team, and then it drops out of the league about 2 or 3 years later. So it's nice to hear long-term planning obviously being put into place by people like Tom Sang over there, people like Lee Greenwood over at Gloucestershire All Golds, and I'm sure that Oxford and Hemel are also doing their bit as well. So that is the League One Championship Shield brought up to date. Really nice to hear from the voices in there. That leads us nicely onto the Kingstone Press League One Super 8s, and two rounds of results to bring people up to date with. Barrow find themselves with 8 wins in succession under the belts now, following a 44-26 win against Hunslet, and then at the weekend just gone, they beat London Scholars 54-4. Now you might think, well, okay, that doesn't sound all too that sounds just easy, but it was only 8-4 at half time, so
it's a phenomenal second half, isn't it?
That's a wonderful second half. And
unless you're a London fan obviously listening in, yeah, apologies to that.
Yeah, there's apologies there, but yeah, a couple of tries there for Cameron Pittman. Chris Hankinson, who really is going great guns up there, he's on loan from Lee, scored a try and 8 goals to add to his growing tally of points that he's amassing down there. Toulouse have wrapped up top spot in the league, by the way, with 2 more victories over the past couple of weekends. They beat Doncaster 38-18 at the Keep Moat Stadium, and then defeated Rochdale Hornets 46-6 at the weekend just gone. Interesting about that one, they only led 16-6 at half time, so again, like Barrow, they put a lot of points on in the second half. So
I think that could be to do with the fitness, maybe, possibly.
Possibly. I mean, like, I can vouch at first hand for how good a team that Toulouse actually are. I think they're a tremendous set of players. They just don't give up in a game, and they're very skillful. And interestingly enough, as well, they've got one of the best named players in rugby league playing for them at the moment, Cunny Minga.
Fantastic. Where's he from?
He's a Papua New Guinea player, by the way, Dave.
I was going to say, I don't think that was a very French name, is it?
He scored upwards of 20 tries this season, and he followed that with a hat-trick at the weekend against Rochdale Hornets as well. There was a victory last week for Keighley Cougars, they couldn't keep the balance going. They went down to Doncaster by 26 points to 24 in a game which was decided basically on goal kicks and penalties. Tom Carr kicked all his attempts, 5 from 5, including a penalty 2 minutes from time. Keighley, unfortunately for Danny Lawton, he missed 2 attempts on goal which would have seen them win because they only lost 26-24.
It is. It's one of them. I mean, for years, you know, been saying it, you know, the amount of games that goal kickers have won at a higher level. So even at the lower level, the kickers need to be on their game. And well done to Doncaster.
York City Knights have had mixed results, it would be fair to say, over the last couple of weeks. They had a great result over in Rochdale, 36-16 the week before last. But at the weekend, that was all reversed because they took on Hunslet at home. Well, what passes for home, because they find themselves had a little bit of a crossroads with where they're playing, etc., etc., and the future of the club. They lost to Hunslet 33 points to 12, so that was a bit of a toweling, really. Excellent game, though, by the way, by the visiting halfback Ansel, who scored a try, kicked 6 goals, and a drop goal.
Hope you got a man of the match.
I hope so as well, yeah. He'd be worth actually getting a couple of bets on, wouldn't he? Can I mention that? Well, I just have done, haven't I? So there we go. So what that means...
Last time I was on, I gave you a load of tips of results for the Magic Weekend.
You did.
I don't think I got any right, so I'm just keeping my mouth shut.
No,
tonight.
I lost money last time.
Sorry,
you
Parker.
Were on here, Dave Birch. That's just terrible. Anyway, for the Kingstone Press League One Super 8s table, Toulouse up at the top. They're not going to be caught. Barrow have slipped up into, or I should say, moved up. They're not slipped up.
No.
They're on a brilliant run at the moment. They've moved up into second spot with Rochdale Hornets, Doncaster and York City Knights making up the rest of the playoff position. So as it stands, Hunslet, Keighley and London Scholars, they're all looking forward to next year. But to be fair, they can still have some impact over this next 3 or 4 weeks.
Of course, and you know, you want to finish your season sort of on a high and try and take that momentum, you know, players there playing for contracts possibly, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how those games go, whether some do, as some Super League players have said, about people going on the holidays early, or some actually who are looking at trying to get contracts with either the club they're at or other clubs, see how they get on. So be interesting next few weeks.
One team that does seem to be finishing with great aplomb at the moment, after maybe falling short of what they were expected to do, was Bradford Bulls. They are in Kingstone Press Championship Shield action at the moment. Their last two results, well, they beat Halifax 44 points to 22, and then just this last weekend, they defeated Oldham 82-0. There were 5 tries from Chris Wellham in that game, so he certainly enjoyed playing against the Oldham Roughheads.
He certainly did, and of course, Oldham, a team that you know we've seen this year. You've seen them a couple of times. I saw them in the Challenge Cup as well, and they seem to start quite well, but then they seem to sort of drop off. But Bradford just took them to the cleaners straight off.
To be fair, though, I mean, I know you've mentioned that about Oldham. They played Swinton the previous week. They beat them 30 points to 8, so there was no dropping off there. We know as well that John Duffy likes to play an exciting brand of rugby league where his teams tend to throw the ball around quite a lot.
I don't think they got a touch at the weekend, though. That's the only problem. You can't play without the ball, can you?
No, definitely not. Talking of Swinton, as we move on there, they had a great win at the weekend. They went over to Sheffield, who have been under a bit of a cloud of their own, which we'll discuss in a little bit more detail in a couple of minutes. But they defeated a full-time Sheffield side by 40 points to 38. I think the tackle bags weren't in use in the training sessions leading up to the game, but hey, it's good results anyway.
I'm sure the fans enjoyed it, plenty of points.
Now, for Whitehaven, they've gone through a bit of the horrors recently. They ended up letting their coach go, and they've appointed 4 of the senior pros to take control of the team for the last few weeks of the season. The 4 players involved are Dave Allen, once upon a time a witness, Scott McAvoy, who's played all his career up at Whitehaven, Craig Calvert, who's I think the club record try scorer now, or if he isn't, he's not so far away from David Seed's record, and Carl Foster, who was playing Super League rugby last season for Salford. So it obviously worked for them, that, because they defeated local rivals Workington 28-24 at the weekend.
I think that's what sometimes people are after, is, you know, when coaches do get, you know, fired, or, you know, coaches leave, you know, they try and maybe bring in a short term just to get some sort of response. And of course, as you mentioned, both Cumbrian clubs are struggling at the bottom of that division, and they just need to get something to get them up above sort of Oldham and Swinton if they can, you know. So maybe that was the best idea to just get a short term fix in. Of course, those senior pros, the younger players must look up to them. So you know, hopefully it'll do the job for them.
Basically, there's four games remaining. Four games for the two Cumbrian clubs to
four
save
big
the
cup
bacon.
Finals, isn't it?
It is. It is, and they find themselves both clubs 4 points adrift of Swinton and Oldham, so they've got work to do, haven't they?
They certainly have, and they could be from the two sort of greater Manchester area clubs rather than the two Cumbrian clubs. It'd be interesting how that goes in the next few weeks.
Yeah, Workington have had some mixed results as well, because I know they beat Dewsbury 34 points to 24 the week before last, and then lost against Whitehaven, sorry, in the big West Cumbrian derby. And I said big West Cumbrian derby, it did used to be that, because you look at the attendances that that fixture used to get. It was always the highest and most well-attended game that both of those clubs had against each other. Not so on this occasion, just over 1,000 people there. Where's it going wrong in Cumbria? Do you reckon it's just a case of both sides are on a loser at the moment?
Yeah, possibly. You know, both sides are down the bottom, and you know, as good as fans are, you know, you do only get sort of your hardcore fans who go when the teams aren't going well. Also, what you've got to factor into that, Dave, as well, is it's August, it's summer holidays and people are away as well. So people are spending the money taking the kids out, going away on holiday rather than spending the money on rugby league, which is a big shame, but, you know, that's what does happen at this time of year.
I do wonder whether Halifax have gone on holiday, like you mentioned, because this last couple of weeks hasn't been the best of results for them. They got a lot of points conceded at Bradford. They lost narrowly at home to Dewsbury at the weekend. A couple of tries there from Etu Wasali. And yes, I did try pronouncing that about four or five times before I actually said it. He's on loan from Bradford, one of 20 players that could be moving on from the Bulls. So all change there, but where's he gone wrong for Halifax? Halifax were, this time last year, with the club everybody was talking about. They'd gone into the eights on a the middle eights, sorry, on a, yeah, on a real run of results. They ended up beating Lee. I think they finished sixth in those, and, you know, ended up winning quite a lot of prize money, and it just doesn't seem to have happened for them.
No, it's a strange one, that. And of course, you know, similar to the way Bradford have sort of dropped off as well, you know, it's good to see new clubs in that middle eights competition. But yeah, there's a couple of clubs, Sheffield as well, dropped out. I'm not sure, but you must think Richard Marshall's doing a decent job. He's got himself a new contract there, hasn't he? So
he has, and I'm glad that a club is backing him, to be honest,
which,
you know,
is always good. You know, we just mentioned Whitehaven got rid of their coach, and we're saying obviously Halifax are backing theirs. And of course Richard Marshall did a great job at Warrington, did a great job last season, and they must see something there in the future. So it'll be interesting to see how they swap the squads around, as well as you mentioned with Bradford as well, you know, how, whether Bradford bring some youth players up or what have you, because obviously they're not going to be, or they're definitely not going to be, you know, in Super League. They're not even with a chance of Super League, so they've got another year in the Championship.
This leads us nicely onto the qualifiers, and boy, we've seen some home dingers in this competition over the last couple of weeks. I've been to quite a few of these games, by the way, that I'm going to be mentioning here. But Huddersfield 62, Featherstone 16 was from the week before last, so the part-time has not really been able to stick with the full-time side there. Leeds defeated Hull Kingston Rovers 22-18. It was nerves a jangling there at Headingley, but thanks to James Seguiero getting over for a couple of close-range tries, he's managed to etch himself in that rich tapestry of Leeds history, and if he can get them back into Super League next season, well, I think he's earned himself a contract for next year as well.
Definitely.
Leeds Centurions defeated Super League Salford 32-26, and to be honest, that was the result that a lot of people were looking at to see how the top of the Championship side would go up against the Super League team, and Leeds didn't disappoint on that game.
Definitely, and you know, we mentioned sort of before the show off about how sort of last year Leeds did really well. He won the Shield, and then sort of in the first 3 to 4 games, defeats, and there was a close defeat as well, and it all sort of just went wrong for Lee. And this year, they've managed to turn that close defeat into a good win, and really put down a marker for a possibility of automatic promotion. Forget that £1 million game. There's a good chance that if Lee can keep this up, they could go to the just go automatic, and it could be two Super League clubs who actually go in that £1 million game.
Another club that seems to be struggling its way in the qualifiers at the moment is Batley Bulldogs. They've had a great season in the Championship. They got tated at London last week. They also got tated at home to Huddersfield Giants this past weekend just gone. So Ryan Brierley scoring a hat-trick there and showing just why he was the Championship's hottest player to trot 12 months ago.
It's interesting how, of course, he's just had a change of position as well. He's gone back to a stand-off position for Huddersfield, and a lot of the Huddersfield fans are happy with that positional change, of course, with Danny Ruff being banned. And it just seems that Huddersfield have had a couple of big wins, and Ryan scoring the tries as well, like he was at Lee, just as you mentioned, 12 months ago. Wonder whether Danny Ruff can get back into that team.
Interesting. London Broncos, well, they followed up the game against Batley with a home tie against Leeds. They were they gave a good account of themselves, I thought. They went in front early doors with a try from former Warrington winger Reece Williams. And, you know, for a good 40, 50 minutes, they were well in the encounter. And then Leeds, like Leeds can do, they just pulled away. Eventually won by 42 points to 28. Although I'm sure that their coaching staff will be a little bit worried at the fact that London managed to score the last couple of tries of the game.
They did, but that just shows how well London have done as well this year, and they've probably been the surprise package in the Championship. And they've got this never say die attitude, and you know, yeah, they're probably not going to get up. Good chance they probably won't get into this £1 million game, but the experience and where they've come within 12 months has been absolutely fantastic for Andrew Henderson and his squad.
Now, we talked about Salford picking up defeat at Lee. They were at it again. They lost heavily, in my opinion, against Hull Kingston Rovers on Friday night. It would be fair to say that this wasn't a game that was a classic. Salford dropped so much ball, it was unbelievable. Hull Kingston Rovers, well, they put it together at one point. I think in the second half, they actually completed really, really well. So they got about 80%, 85% of the completions done second half. And, you know, they just managed to turn the tables, and they won by 29 points to 12. We've got some audio from that particular game. So first of all, we'll hear from victorious coach James Webster.
I think everyone knew how big a game it was before the game. As I said, I don't think it was a must win. Salford are definitely not dead and buried in this competition. But we've made ourselves just one small step closer to what we want to try and achieve. We've still got four games left, four tough games. There's not one game in those four I look at and think we're a shoo-in to win. Not at all. We've got Lee up next, who have been really good and have a really good team. We still got to go away to London and Featherstone, and we've got obviously a team at the end of the Super League side in Huddersfield who we all know their credentials. There's a lot to play in this competition, and there's going to be some more swings and ups and downs yet. So yeah, while I'm really pleased for the club and for my players, I understand there's still a huge amount of rugby left. Yeah, you want to win all of them, but in saying that, I think everyone was realistic that if you could get two of our first three, we had a hard draw to start with. We had two Super League teams away in the first part of the draw. If we were able to get one of those, then we were in a lot healthier position than someone else along our line, else one of the other Super League clubs. So we understand that we've got a bit of a jump on Salford now. And our points difference is still reasonably healthy too, which is, I think, is going to be massively important in this competition. A lot of teams could end up on the same amount of points, and points difference could be really important. The weather conditions threw one in the spanner for a spanner in the works for everyone. Really tough and greasy conditions there, tough to move the ball around. We had to really grind it out. Probably the way we wanted to play against Salford, we couldn't. And I think you look at 100% completions in the second half, compared to 59% at Leeds, in those conditions, just gave us a bit of an advantage towards the back end of the game. Yeah, we played it more like a playoff game. We really spoke about a cup game, take points when we could, goal kicked. We've gotten some natural people that just want to attack all the time on our side, and they'll tap the ball every single time they can. We had to refrain from that today and say, look, we take points when we could. We scored literally a converted try just through penalty goals, which always seemed to keep us 12, 14 points ahead and never really enabled Salford to get a stiff back in the game. So that was important for us. I thought our control, how we kicked the ball and backed that up, was important as well. And I couldn't single too many people out. I thought we had some massive efforts from a lot of people. Salford did put a dent in us a couple of times, and we had to come up with some really good try-saving tackles to hold people out. Tackle in the corner from Albie, Ben Kane came out with a couple. We didn't have everything going away in that game. Yeah, I thought Albie took a really good lesson about finishing a game off. We've been in that position a lot of times this year, 14 points, 8 points, 10, 20 once, with 20 to go, and we weren't able to close them out. Today was, I think, an accumulation of 4 or 5 months' work in trying to finish games off. We kicked the ball well towards the back end of the game. We didn't turn any cheap possession over. We knew when to put our foot down. We knew when to take our foot off a little bit. I thought we controlled the tempo of the game well.
You know what? I owe James Webster an apology there, didn't I? I think I said it was 85% completion. He said it was 100%.
He must have had the stat man next to him, so you've been corrected there, Parky.
I have, but it was a good result. But contrast that interview with how Ian Watson sounds. Two very, very different feel about this. So here is Ian Watson, the Salford Red Devils coach, speaking after that defeat.
It was just error after error after error, and when you're completing at 50% and the other team are completing at 94%, you're not standing any chance of winning the game. Oh, we've got to get together as a group and reassess what we're about, really. We just spoke about it in there, just saying that the Super League season's been and gone, and yeah, we can say we held our heads up in there and we did a decent job, but this is a completely different competition and we need to accept it as so. And at the moment we don't seem to be kind of focused about how serious the situation is and that people's kind of livelihoods and careers are on the line with this a little bit. For whatever reason, we're just turning over too much ball, and we're making error after error after error, and we're beating ourselves. It's not the other teams are beating us, we're beating ourselves by doing this to us, and we're putting our pressure on our defence to keep trying to defend everything. And when you're being asked to defend a hell of a lot more sets than what you're actually getting with the ball, you're never going to defend anything. The disappointing thing is as well is our right side defence conceded some poor tries today. We've been through that much video this week and showing the boys on what to do and saying do this, and the attention to detail was there. If they'd done what we'd have spoke about in the week, we wouldn't have conceded them tries. And then you can come in at half time and kind of reassess there. You're probably not 12 points off the scoreboard with them two tries, and then you're probably in a better position to then come out second half, get that try and get back into the game again. But even when Benny Murdoch went over, the game was still kind of there for us, and then that was a big turning point as well. I mean, I don't know what happened on that one, but we're just putting ourselves under too much pressure and making ourselves do too much defending. We've got a goal there to Leeds, going for a win, not to just go there. People are talking about Leeds, that they're getting back into how they played last year and they're doing really well and becoming dominant in that. We've got to put all that to a side and take it as a one-off game and go there. And if we go there with the right mentality and the right kind of attention to detail, then we're confident we can go there and get a win. But if we turn out what we've just turned out in the last 2 weeks, again, we're just going to be beating ourselves and not giving ourselves a chance in any of the game. It's going to be difficult now after losing against Lee and Hull KR. You generally need to beat probably two of the Super League teams and your championship. I mean, it happened last year to us against Bradford, where we lost to Bradford, but then we beat two Super League teams. So the Leeds game's the be-all and end-all for us in this next game. We've got to just look at that game and not look any further past that.
The Leeds game is the be-all and end-all. That's not a good way to approach it, is it, when you've got the three championship clubs afterwards?
Possibly. He sounds like a very, very worried man. His speech was a lot quicker than normal. He just sounded like he wanted to get out of there. It also sounded like, you know, they'd done everything in their power to get a result, and it just didn't happen. It was just really, really strange. I said, I heard Ian Watson after they played Warrington, you know, maybe 6 weeks ago, and they got a good beating that day, and that was also the day that they had the decision, you know, not overturned. And there was a lot of pressure on Saul for that day, and he come across really, really well, but just seems like a very, very different man. He does seem under pressure, and if that's going all the way through the club, you worry a little bit about Salford.
Yes, interesting times ahead, I feel, over the next month for the Salford Red Devils. I personally hope that they can get out of it, because I think they're in this false position anyway.
It's only by virtue of
points being deducted that, you know, these clubs aren't playing Wakefield.
It is, and we're not advocating that breaking a salary cap is correct or what have you, but you know, I think there's a lot of story on that, and there's a lot of pressure being put on there. And, you know, this set of players, it wasn't them who created it. It's something from, you know, 12 months ago, 2 years ago. So, you know, it's difficult for them. And as you said, they shouldn't be in that position. But at the moment, if I was a Salford fan, even though there are three games coming up, which should be easier wins, I'd be a little bit worried.
Okay, there's one result that we haven't touched upon. That was two championship clubs playing against each other. Featherstone Rovers against Lee. And to be honest, this is always one of those which whets the appetite of both flat cappers and Centurions fans, to be fair. And it was another big game. And although Lee weren't at the best, they managed to win. And they found a way to win by 30 points to 18. We've got an interview with Neil Dukes lined up, the Centurions boss. And this is what he had to say to me after that victory. Neil, a win's a win, I suppose, but was you looking for something more convincing, or are you happy with that?
Happy with the win, not happy with the performance. Too many individuals off, just spoke about that. You can carry probably two or three, but I reckon, you know, what, to double figures, really. Just, you know, they know that themselves. We got to get better. Maybe last week caught a bit up on us with energy and stuff. But I just thought we tried Blago away at first half. I thought when he got a little bit tough, we tried some easy options and just tried to get a lead just by doing some ad-lib stuff, and that's not what we're about. We needed to be a bit harder, a bit more honest in what we're doing with and without the ball. And we spoke about that at half-time. You know, we lost Fuwe, you know, Dane's back tightened up, so I knew we were going to have to do it tough. And it got to that point where I thought we'd have to ground a win out as well, obviously coming up that hill second half. And again, just, you know, I thought, you know, structurally we're a little bit off, and defensively, you know, we looked at times like we're not defended at side of one another. But on back of that, when we're just giving soft errors on player one and player two, and doing, like I said, doing some stuff what's ad lib, it makes it real difficult to get hold of the game. But again, I thought 1-17 tried hard, you know, on occasion tried too hard. I don't think you could doubt their efforts. But certainly today was about effort and performance, and we got one and probably not the other.
It was a great start. I mean, to go 12-0 up in the space of, what, 5 or 6 minutes. You must have been happy with that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think they realised what was at stake. You know, the 2 points was massive. We spoke about having the 2-week break after today. And again, just emptying the tank. So I thought we started really well. But again, just probably first try, obviously a bit poor from us. We could have dealt with it better. It's something we spoke about. But yeah, I think they've thrown a few spanner in the works there, because obviously Thackeray played 9 last week. He's played a lot on right, and then he played on left. So we got some simple messages out to our right edge, but got us on that. You know, Thackeray's nice playing to outline with Walters. So yeah, we got to be better. But it's, you would have said to me at the start, you know, before going into a Wembley weekend, you got 6 points from six. I'd have snatched the hand off.
So there you have it. 6 points from six, Lee Centurions. Do you think they can do it?
I genuinely think they can. Still a couple of big games, but this time last year they were out of it, you know, and that must buoy the confidence around the club. And you didn't play well at the weekend, but got the win. And I think 12 months ago, Lee would have lost that match.
So let us move on to the First Utility Super 8s. Some good games this weekend, actually, I thought. Maybe
some nail biters.
Well, there was one nail biter in particular. All the rest were quite simple victories, I suppose, for who you would have expected, I suppose. Hull started the weekend with a 44-0 defeat against Catalans Dragons. And Catalans, they might as well go on holiday. They've got all their injuries that have piled. I'm fed up of hearing about Catalans Dragons injuries, because we heard it on that Sky commentary about 22 times.
It's only because Wigan Warriors haven't got as many injuries that Phil Clark can't mention that, so he turns his attention to Catalan Dragons injuries instead. But yes, they have got a big list of injuries. There's a lot of players who are out there, and it's a shame really, because Catalans are going along pretty well this season, and they were a contender for the top four, but they have slipped down now, and it's probably their slip that's probably caused the Super 8s to be a little bit done and dusted earlier than it should have been, really. But it's a shame, but I'm sure Hull will have enjoyed the workout, especially a week before a big cup final.
I've got to say, Maher Fanua was in supreme form. I mean, he got himself in an awful position in a tackle, got up, and next thing you know, he's charging 90 metres on an intercept try. So, you know, he's tough as teak, that fella.
Oh, he is. They breed him well.
Yeah, definitely.
That neck of the world, should we say.
Widnes Vikings had something of a routine victory. And yes, you heard it right, a routine victory. This coming a week after getting nilled at home to Hull. An interesting stack heading into Wembley. The fact that Hull haven't conceded a point in the last two games.
It's all right. They didn't score last time they were in the cup final either.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. You just chucked another stat. You've answered one stat with another. I like it. I'm training you well, Dave.
No, it could go one of two ways. I mean, we're going to talk about the cup final later on. But for me personally, is it the fact that they haven't been tested? I mean, Widnes didn't really put up a great performance the week before. Catalans, as you mentioned, they don't travel brilliantly, and you know, they're not in great form as well. So possibly that could be. their undoing is they've had two really good wins and they could go in a little bit too overconfident, whereas Warrington struggled a little bit to say the least at the weekend, but they managed to grind out a win, which is a sign of a championship team.
So says Dave Birch, Warrington fan, brackets. But yes, back on Widnes. Widnes had a great victory. Patrick Arvan, since he's got back in the team, he can't stop scoring. Now, I know at times his performances can be erratic, to say the least. You know, he can be superb. He can score you a try from 15, 20 metres. And
there's no middle point with Patrick. He's either brilliant or he's awful.
Unfortunately for Widnes, he was brilliant at the weekend against Wakefield. And do you think that boosts their confidence as well? Because they've took a few knocks recently, haven't they, Widnes?
Yeah, they certainly have. And I know there's a little bit of rumblings about how they don't feel that the Super 8s have been great for them because they were sort of so far behind. But in a similar ilk to sort of Warrington and Hull FC last year, whereas they couldn't really challenge for that top four, is Warrington and Hull actually ended last season pretty well, so they actually got a little bit of a run of wins together, and then they've managed to take that into this season. So really, for Widnes now, it's just time to knuckle down. They've signed a lot of the players up on new contracts, so you know the nucleus of that squad is going to be what's playing in Super League next year. So it's time for the Widnes team just to knuckle down and get some wins like this, because yeah, they were very impressive at the weekend, and if they can take a little bit of form into there, these players don't forget a winning mentality, so to start off next season.
What can we say about Wakefield though? I mean, they got beat in the semi-final of the cup by Warrington. They got beat the week before by Warrington at home. They're just going through the horrors of themselves.
And they got a battering off Wigan as well, sort of the week after the semi-final. So I don't know. Again, Wakefield, they've had a good run. They've done really well to get into the Super 8. And the thing with Wakefield and Widnes is, all right, They'll probably get a few more defeats before the end of the season, but they haven't had to worry about that relegation. And again, they can build for next season. Yeah. They can promise a Super League contract on the table today, whereas Salford, Hull, Kingston Rovers, Leeds, Huddersfield, they can't guarantee that yet. So they can get a step ahead in the way of recruitment for next season.
One of the worst games, or one of the worst derbies that has been televised in recent memory, was Wigan and St Helens.
Not if you're a Wigan fan.
So many knock-ons. It was just scrappy, awful, terrible rugby league.
It was, and I'm sure the Wigan Warriors fans won't be too upset with a nil-in against the arch rivals. But yeah, for a neutral point of view, it was enough said about it. Good hat-trick from Anthony Gellin, and that's about it, really.
I think one thing that I do want to mention, because, as I eat stats for breakfast, lunch, occasionally have them for tea as well, Anthony Gellin ran for 250 metres in that, so he had a great, great game, because normally you'd be expecting, your good backs to be running maybe 100 metres plus.
Am I right that he nearly doubled his tries for the season as well?
I think you're right, yeah. I mean, but again, he's a bit like Patrick Arvan, isn't he? You don't know which one you're going to get. He's a bit Jekyll and Hyde, isn't he? He can be fantastic, and he can drop off.
He can, as you said, I was looking forward to that Wigan Saints game. It's usually one of the best games of the season. Yeah, it was disappointing, to say the least.
The one game that we've been sort of just sidestepping a little bit around, I know you nearly gave it away, was Warrington. Warrington winning by 14 points to 11 against Castleford. This wasn't the game that I was expecting, by the way. I thought that there would be plenty of points scored, considering that, Castleford Tigers, they defeated Wigan 36-22 the previous week. I've already spoken about Warrington putting the points on Wakefield. Did the closeness of that game surprise you at all?
I think so, because both teams have got good attacking styles and good attacking philosophies as well, but I'm not sure whether just defence cancelled each other out as well. Castleford being on a good run, been in good form, and Warrington being a little bit hit and miss, but they've been grinding out results, and that's exactly what they did at the weekend.
Jack Hughes earning his transfer spurs.
New deal as well.
New deal, celebrating it. Great try from him, by the way. And Warrington just wouldn't let that lie, would they?
They wouldn't. But I mentioned it about Lee before, and last season Warrington would have lost that one quite comfortably. And this season, they go right to the end, and they steal it right on the hooter.
Let us hear what Tony Smith had to say about proceedings.
Tough game. As if you listen to the TV commentators, one of the best attacking teams in the in the country, very exciting, and the way they attack, and they've had some big scalps in recent times in Hull and Wigan, so to keep one of the best attacking teams in the country to one try, I thought was pretty good. So, yeah, they made it tough. They're not in the Super 8s for just to fill in time. They're here to make it hard for everybody else, and, you know, that was probably their final, you know, crack at it. But after today, you know, it secures us a position in the top four, and you know, who knows what can happen after this. We'll see how far it goes and where we finish.
Is that a point in itself worth celebrating, Tony? I mean, obviously everyone will be focused on Wembley, but to secure the four before Wembley, how big an achievement is that?
Yeah, I think it's a very good achievement. You know, we're currently sitting second in the competition. We'd prefer to be one further up, but, you know, we're still a chance. We're giving ourselves a chance, and we had to fight hard for it today. 3-1. We had to find a hard way to do it, and you know, probably wasn't the way we would have planned. But you know, at the same time, to be able to find that energy and that desire and that, you know, I thought the errors that we made today contributed to how hard we made the game. I thought we made the game hard. I thought the opposition tried really hard to make it hard for us, but I thought we did too. And we need to cut some of those errors out, particularly that first half. You know, I think we had two balls out in the full from kicks, and one from a kickoff, and some handling errors as well. So it was self-inflicted, some of the pain that we were suffering there today. But you know, to find a way to still win and come home strong, and, you know, come up with a big play to score, it probably overcomes completion rates, if you like. And there's a lot of people out there that, you know, will quote you completion rates, but it's hard to quantify desire. You know, that's a really tough one to put, you know, put across.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the Final Hooter.
Okay, so Tony Smith, I think, was pleased with the result, if maybe not the performance. Was glad for the desire that was shown by his team. He made a good point of saying that, didn't he, Dave?
And that's one of the main things. As long as the players are trying, you know, to wrong the rights, even if they're not having the best of games, you know, their effort and the guile is getting them over the line. And as mentioned, you know, certain times, you know, over the past few years, Warrington would have struggled to have won that match. And, you know, hoping for more of the same at the weekend, more guile.
Now, before we look at the Challenge Cup final, and I'm glad to be in the company of Dave Birch for this one, because I know he's been looking at everything, and it's going to be a really interesting little chat. I just wanted to have a very quick discussion about Sheffield Eagles. You know, they're in dire straits, really, at the moment, just to name check another band.
Never met them.
No. But yes, they're really struggling at the moment, are Sheffield Eagles. They had a backer all ready to go at the start of the season. Unfortunately, he didn't come through with the money, and as a result, it's left a huge hole in the budget there. They've been full-time all season, although judging by the results, you wouldn't really have thought it. Let's hope that they can come through.
Definitely, and that's the main problem. You know, it's all right having the money, and, you know, there are clubs who are, you know, a lot better off, and it does help when you've got this money, but as you said, he was promised certain amount, tried the best. They got into, of course, the middle eights last year, did all right, didn't do too bad, and you thought they were just going to push on, and results haven't gone the best. And sometimes, you know, they always say, well, the players shouldn't really worry about that, but, you know, they've got mortgages to pay and all sorts, and they want to make sure that they're being paid, families to feed, and it's difficult. And I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for Sheffield, because despite seeing Warrington winning, you know, 3 cup finals at Wembley, one of my favourite Wembleys was when they pulled the shock of all shocks, and they beat Wigan Warriors to win the Challenge Cup. And as a neutral, it was a great day out, especially on the way home on the train, because, of course, Warrington and Wigan are on the same line.
It's always a great final when Wigan loses anyway, isn't it? spoken like a true Lather.
All right, well, I'll agree with you. I'm true Warringtonian. Always great when Wigan lose.
See, that's linked in perfectly because, you know, I wanted to get you in to have a chat about what you thought Warrington's chances were ahead of the game on Saturday. You're going to be bringing coverage for Radio General, hopefully alongside Adrian Jackson, who's probably listening in to this from his sick bed somewhere.
Get well soon, Aid.
Get well soon. You've got the kit. Make sure you pass it over.
we'll be fine. Adrian will be back up to 100%, no problem.
But yes, I'm sort of thinking about, you know, have you got the jitters? What's your general thoughts about, you know, how do you think it's going to go?
I think the last 4 weeks, really, from the point of the semi-final, you know, it's, you know, waiting for your accreditation to go through. Then as the week comes up, you know, you're thinking, right, you know, what? Are Warrington going to do okay? Are they not going to do okay? Is it going to be a nightmare? You know, is it going to be awful? Is it going to be bad? I mean, I've been to the last three finals as a fan, you know, and I must admit, I was confident against Huddersfield in 2009. Mm-hmm. Wasn't too confident against Leeds. I was really surprised at how well they played. And then 2000...
Because they battered him in 2010,
yeah,
didn't they?
Exactly, yeah. You know, and it was a bit, you know, it was a shock result, really. Although Warrington were the holders that day, you know, Leeds were the favourites going into it. I think in 2012, Warrington had turned that corner and Warrington were probably on an even keel with Leeds. And, you know, although Warrington come out winners in the end, it was a closer game. But again, I was quite confident with this, but... Hull have beaten Warrington twice this season, although very, very close matches, both of them. The last one at the Halliwell Jones was not a classic. It's probably the worst Super League game of the season. You know, it was a knock-on-a-thon, although both coaches blame the ball. So hopefully they won't have the slippy balls at Wembley this week. But where's it going to go? If you've asked me an hour ago, I may say Warrington are going to win. I'd probably tell you Hull are going to win now. I'm really, really sitting on the fence, but of course, as a fan of the Primrose and Blue, I think Warrington will sneak it.
There's lots of previous final experience that's being played in this game, isn't there?
There is, and a lot of players have lost, you know, which is quite strange. I mean, even if you look at Ryan Bailey, of course, who will probably be on the bench for Warrington.
Hang on, there's an old saying, isn't there, you've got to lose one to win one.
Well, he's lost five.
Ah.
So, but
how many has he won, though?
But he did win his last one.
Oh, there you go then.
But then he won the last one, and Daryl Clark lost that one, and Joe Westerman.
Oh, there.
Well, he's lost one as well. Was it when he played for Hull, and Daryl Clark lost for Castleford against Leeds when Ryan Bailey won? And
mind you, Max,
it's all confusing.
Mark Snead played in that same final alongside Daryl Clark,
and he was dragged off as well early on in that match, and you know, he'll
the big
be
big shepherd's crook came out.
Well, it literally was. I think. Probably I backed him for Lance Dodd Trophy winner, I think. That's what it was.
See, it's another one of your bets, was it?
I'm having a tenner on him this week.
So go on, where do you think it's going to be won and lost then?
Yeah, it's a strange game because both teams, obviously, you know, there's nothing in them in Super League this year, but Hull go with, you know, with a bigger pack. There's more power, more drive, whereas Warrington sort of have the back of their pack is like an extra halfback and also a couple of extra centres as well. So I think Warrington will be there with probably more trying to throw the ball about a bit, and if it does stick like it did in the semi-final, Warrington could use that to their advantage. Of course, it's going to be a warm day apparently, according to Michael Fish, around about 27-28 degrees as well, so whether these big fellas will be able to take all that heat, I'm not too sure, but it's going to be an interesting battle of both clubs, and I think which team's star man turns up. I'm so scared that Danny Houghton is going to have the game of his life because he's probably my favourite non-Warrington player. You know, the amount of tackles he goes through, he runs from dummy half, he's an 80-minute player, he doesn't stop. And yeah, again, Mark Snyder, you know, he's got a point to prove. You know, he didn't play well in his last final, and he's been one of the form players in Super League. So that's where the danger for me is going to come from Hull FC. But then again, if, you know, Kurt Gidley, Chris Sandow turn up, Ryan Atkins has been in great form as well. He scored a couple of tries at Wembley previously as well. He's got previous. So you never know. And, of course, Warrington's front row of Hill, Sims and Daryl Clark. Wow. So it's going to be a cracker.
See, yeah, I'm sort of like tipping my way towards. Having seen Tarnour recently, I think he's been like really, really good. And I mentioned him before, didn't I? Mahe Fanua, I think, you know, really good. I just think we're in for a cracking final. I know we said this every year, don't we, no matter who gets there, but I honestly do think that we're in for a cracking final. It wasn't a classic last time Hull got there. They got nil by Wigan. I think they've got a point to prove, and I think they're going to do it. That's stunned silence from Dave.
I don't know what to say.
We're going to sign off now.